Truth, or the three universal characteristics of nature, is everywhere. It is in the midst of life and nature. Why can't you see? For those who see, they will always see. So this one I repeat many times already. Yeah. So what is the meaning of truth? Truth is the way things are. Means anything that can explain to you the way things are, to let you understand what is happening within nature, within life, within existence. That is the truth. So according to the Buddha, truth means the reality. And this truth, they have very unique characteristics. The Buddha called it the universal characteristic of nature. So this word universal characteristics of nature is very important. Universal characteristic of nature. So as we all know, there are three. So the three universal characteristics of nature. They are anicca, dukkha, and anatta. So these three universal characteristics of nature are very, very unique. In the sense that everything you come to experience within life, within existence, within yourself, your own form and mind, they exhibit these three universal characteristics. And when you can see this, insight into this, then you awaken. Because you understand how things work. You understand truth. You understand reality. The first one is the Buddha say, anicca, means impermanent. What does he mean when he say there is this anicca? Huh? Anybody want to try? Why is it anicca or impermanent is a universal characteristic? Very good, yeah, sadhu. It's because our conditioned world is a world of cause and effect. Condition dependent originating. Because of the fundamental understanding of this law of dependent origination, paticca-samuppada, that's why thing can never be a permanent unchanging entity. It is in a state of flux, evolving, appearing and disappearing. And most of the time it appears sustained and passing away. That's why we have the three phase, four phase, or the five phase of the phenomenon. So you extend it further, then it becomes five. Otherwise, it's always the arising, sustaining, and the passing away. You look at your footstep when you walk. Arise, then that movement is a sustaining. Then when you step down, it's the cessation. Means the ending of that phenomenon, means arise, sustaining, and passing away. But in meditation, in daily mindfulness, when you are cultivating, you must see this moment to moment. At that moment when it arises, it's sustaining, everything is in sati, and is passing away also in sati. Unless you see it that way, you can never awaken. That's why that one will only happen when there is no thought. When you are fully aware and mindful, means the awareness and the phenomena move as one, then you will come to realize everything is like that. Every activity, every movement, every phenomenon, whether it's physical phenomena, nature's phenomena, or your mental phenomena, they exhibit these characteristics of anicca. So this is what cultivation is all about. You need mindfulness leading to heedfulness. So just now I try to explain the importance of heedfulness. If you don't have noble eightfold path factor or sati, you can never train your mind to be heedful. To be heedful is to follow Dhammapada verse 23. Dhammapada verse 23 said, constantly meditative, ever mindful, and steadfast one, they will realize the supreme enlightenment, Nibbana. Means, when you combine the two, ever mindful, constantly meditative, you will be heedful. So what it means is, constantly meditative is constantly developing the embodiment of the Noble Eightfold Path cultivation. Then ever mindful is to train your mind to be mindful first, then stabilize it to become ever mindful. So the moment you are heedful, aware, ever mindful, constantly meditative, you can see this universal characteristic very clearly. That's why this one is not thought-based. This one is not a knowledge. It's not a doing. It's just the nature in silent awareness observed and awakened. That's why when you are silent without thought, you can insight into phenomena. You can awaken. So wisdom is not a knowledge. It's not from the thought process. Wisdom need to be realized. Remember, wisdom need to be realized through an awakening. I better write down. Wisdom is to be realized through an awakening. So here awakening means either you insight the phenomena or you awaken the phenomena. So this one need the silent mind, need the awareness nature. It need to be very stable in order for you to awaken, to insight the phenomena. Then the moment you can see this anicca, you will realize anatta straight away, because you will know that this is dependent originating. Everything move following causes and conditions. Without causes and conditions, nothing arises. A thing is just the way it is. When condition is such, the phenomena will be such, can never be otherwise. So this is how the silent mind, mindfulness, the awareness will allow the cultivator of the way to insight in the phenomena and to awaken. And this one is not a knowledge. You cannot read about it. You cannot go and analyze reason using the thought process. Well, that one can give you some form of knowledge, but it's not the real wisdom. The real wisdom, when you awaken to it, you can handle life. You can understand it clearly, and nothing in this world can cause you suffering. Because you will come to know why the Buddha taught anicca. If you want things your way, which is not nature's way, following the law of dependent origination, suffering will be the result. Like he taught in the first Noble Truth Reality, when you cannot get what you want, suffering will arise. Means you want things your way, which is not nature's way. Then the third one is, of course, a direct consequence of the first, because it's not a permanent unchanging entity, that's why it cannot be called self. It's not you, it's not an entity. That's why the Buddha knew even though it's not self, but it's also not completely no self. Understand? No self is not a permanent and changing entity. Then the other one is the form and mind is anicca, dukkha, anatta. Means not a permanent entity. But there is such thing as a form and mind. There is such thing as phenomena. There is such thing as life. That's why when you come to this understanding, this one go beyond non-self. Anatta is just not only non-self, but empty nature of existence. So this understanding is very important. When you know it's not a permanent and changing entity that you cannot cling on to, hold on to, grasp on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be owned by me. No such thing. That's why it's called non-self. Non-self doesn't mean self or no self. The first one is not a permanent and changing entity means there is, they call it self. So self is a wrong view, wrong concept. So self and no self, I better write it down. Otherwise it can become quite confusing. One is self. The other one is no self. The last one is non-self. So if you look at the first concept, self, here it means permanent unchanging entity. You have complete control. You can tell your body, don't get old, don't get sick, don't die. It's forever eternal. Does not tend towards suffering or sick. Being permanent and changing entity, you can have control. But in life, you know, the physical body don't have such capability. Then no self means totally no existence, nothingness. That's why the Buddha said these two are still wrong view. So these two are still wrong view. Only this one is right view. Non-self means it's not a self, but it's not no self. Because there are things that arise in existence, in life, and there is such thing as a human being, living being. There is such a thing as phenomena. So this understanding of the non-self, what they call explanation of life and existence, is a very, very new concept taught only by the Buddha. Before that, these two, one is annihilism and one is self. These two are very commonly accepted, especially before the time of the Buddha, during the early civilization of the Hindu civilization. In India, they believe there is a super Atman, the ultimate self. Then some, they say, die already, everything is gone. No self. The conditioned world has its own condition number. Because of that, the Buddha knew there is an intermediate explanation to counter these two. But these two cannot explain the way things are. So when he introduced the concept of non-self, it's very difficult for a living being to understand, even cultivator of the way. Because on the one hand, he keep on explaining to us about anicca, dukkha, anatta. He know you, he know me. That's why non-self. But on the other hand, when it comes to conditioned Dhamma, the law of karma, the fifth contemplation is that we are all born of karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma, and we are what we are because of our karma. So we think the Buddha contradicted himself, but no, he didn't. Why? Because what he taught is the conditioned Dhamma. When it comes to conditioned Dhamma, the form and mind is subject to the law of karma. Understand? And because it's subject to the law of karma, it exists. There is such a thing as you. Where that form and mind is an entity, but not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why the enlightened beings, the Aryas, even the Sotapan, when they awaken, they will know. This one is not me. They will know it's not them. Like I used to tell you. This one, you all call Brother Theo or my form and mind, is just a karmically conditioned vehicle and tool for my nature to arise within the conditioned world, within this segment of my nature's life. So this one will be dependent originating. It will arise, sustain itself, then it will cease. That's why there is such a thing as parinibbana. But whatever that happened within the conditioned world, especially if you have understood the bodhisattva way, that segmented form and mind that come, even though it's anatta, there is such a thing as a living being, a human being. There is such a thing as life existence. That's why this teaching is very powerful, very unique. And there is no other universal teacher or great beings that have this type of understanding apart from the Sammasambuddha who actually re-expounded the Dhamma after Sakyamuni arrived 2,600 years ago. So this understanding of anicca, dukkha, anatta is the real cultivation, not the theory, not the knowledge one that you read, not the one that people use to promote or hold to. In fact, these three universal characteristics, very few people can really insight into it and awaken and develop the awakening.